About 6 months ago, I had the opportunity to take a sabbatical. A sabbatical, some people would say to us, hey, how's your vacation going? And maybe that's what a sabbatical is supposed to be, a vacation. There were some ways that it was a vacation. In other ways, it was not a vacation because I was supposed to learn something, experience something, and stop many things on this sabbatical. It ended about the middle of November, and I haven't been the same since. And I also realized that I'm no longer on sabbatical. This photo is a chair in my office, a stack of my favorite books, my filing cabinet where my cup of homemade London fog or coffee would sit. And that became one of my favorite spots on sabbatical. And it was in that place that my heart was ministered to by my Heavenly Father on sabbatical. One of my favorite passages during that time was John 15. And I'm going to read a couple of the verses from this chapter. John 15, I'll read verses 11 to 17 and then make a few comments on verses 14 and 15. John 15, starting at verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. For me, sabbatical was about learning to become a friend of Jesus, not checking off the task lists that were on my to-do list as a servant that I thought I needed to get done for God. A journal entry from that time reads like this. This is one of my journal entries. So Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you, and no longer do I call you a servant. Yet I suspect I would rather be a servant of Jesus, performing my faith in a scheduled time and context, and then returning to my priorities when I clock out for God. No wonder I don't have a keen sense and awareness of God's work or voice. Am I a friend to Jesus? Is my heart a place where Jesus can rest, like Isaiah says, heaven's my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? Is my heart a place that Jesus can sit down in a comfortable chair, prop up his feet, drink his London fog or coffee or whatever drink you imagine Jesus drinking? Is it a place that he can do that? Or is your heart so busy being his servant and hoping to earn something from him by checking off all the commandments that you believe he's asked you to keep? Are we people who are obeying and becoming a friend and with whom he can let us know what his Father is up to? Or are we only operating as a servant? And as I read these verses, I always imagine that the commandments that I was supposed to keep were the commandments that Jesus already included in Scripture, so therefore he already told me what to do. There's not much else I need to do other than do what he told me to do. But this sabbatical allowed my heart to imagine, but what if there's a way God wants me to keep hearing his voice? And what if the way that I've always thought I needed to follow him isn't how he's inviting me to follow him? What if he's inviting me to be a little more courageous or a little more bold or a little more creative in how he's asking me to follow him? What if he actually wants to speak to me today and help me understand what commandment I might need to follow today, rather than just assume the one I followed yesterday is still what will be important today? What if there's a way he's inviting me into obedience that I'm not hearing because my heart is so busy and not taking enough time to listen for his voice? I wonder if the "do whatever I command you" in verse 14 is more about our daily relationship and conversation that takes place between us and Jesus than about the commandments that are included in Scripture. How might I be a friend of Jesus rather than just checking off the Bible's to-do list and thinking I'm a good servant of God? I believe it was Logan, in his testimony about the Papa Prayer, shared how in the book by Dr. Crabb that we read, prayer was described as a relationship with Jesus, not just, oh, God's this incredible vending machine, push the right buttons and you get the answer you want, but taking time to build the relationship. And that also was a way God was speaking to me. Now, for an illustration, and to see a little bit more how this might play out, I would like you to turn to Luke chapter 10. And we want to look at a very short story that's included here. Luke chapter 10. And I'll start reading at verse 38. This is a story of Mary and of Martha. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And Martha had a sister, Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried. You are troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary's chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." I think it's really interesting to notice that apparently this is Martha's house. It says that Martha, the certain woman, welcomed Jesus into her house. So I don't know if that's significant or not, but it might give us a little window into why Martha is so concerned about what she's concerned about. This is her house. And is Mary just visiting, or did Mary live there too? Martha seems to be the one that's extended the invitation to Jesus. She's welcomed Jesus into her house. However, it seems like Martha had invited Jesus into her house for her sake. She wanted Jesus to experience her hospitality. She wanted Jesus to experience her cooking. She wanted Jesus to experience her, maybe she had a chair like I did, a nice soft chair for Jesus to sit on. But this was her place, her space, and she was hoping Jesus would be blessed by being there. And as a follow-up to that, Martha then saw Mary as her servant, a means to her own glorious end of having Jesus express his affirmation for her beautiful hospitality and tasteful cooking, affirming her as a servant. However, Jesus does not appear to have accepted this invitation to Martha's house for Martha's sake. It seems that Jesus had something else in mind. Almost like Jesus accepted the invitation so Martha could experience him, the exact opposite of what Martha had in mind. And Martha is bummed. "I'm not good enough. Jesus isn't noticing everything. I'm not keeping up with my expectations of how I want to serve." She's trying to catch Jesus' eye and catch and earn Jesus' affirmation. And when she doesn't, she plays the victim card. "Jesus, don't you see all the work? Like, tell Mary to help me out here." Trying to create sympathy and draw attention to herself. But Jesus doesn't bite. Wow, how often do I do the same thing? I pull the same stunt, thinking that it's my job to prove something to Jesus so that he feels better about himself being with me. I'm often realizing that my name is Martha too. Is your name ever Martha? Have you found yourself in those same shoes? How can we find the love and the invitation that Jesus invites us into to sit at his feet and let go of our attempts to impress him? You might say, well, I don't know that I'm a Martha. That doesn't really connect. I don't think I'm Martha. Well, you might be if you keep score. Your name might be Martha if you keep score. Well, I've been here longer than anybody else. I've been on this committee ever since. And I've given more than most have given around here. And you know, some people just aren't committed. You're keeping score. And why are you keeping score? Your name might be Martha if you also play the victim card. I've been here longer, so how come my advice was ignored? I've been on this committee ever since, so I know how these things go. I've given more than most, so I'll just send my money elsewhere if my idea isn't going to be acted on. And some people, they just aren't committed around here. Why do I have to pick up all the pieces? Your name might be Martha if you create drama. Did you hear that so-and-so is only doing so-and-so? Why don't you make them do something about that? And if someone doesn't fix what's wrong around here, I'll just take matters into my own hands and I'll make it happen. And if they knew they were so incompetent, so I just called them up and left them know. Your name might be Martha. Your name might be Martha if you have hours for God. And most of the week, your shutter isn't hanging out, and your shingle isn't on the post, and you're not open for business with God. You have hours for God. Well, my term's up, so I don't really care what happens now. You can do whatever you want. I put my time in, let somebody else deal with it. I've worked hard for this, and nothing is going to stop me now from enjoying this. What I used to do is now past. Now I get to do what I want to do. Your name might be Martha if you also have servants. If your relationship with God is something that you only feel good about after you've shown what you can do for him, then you'll often see other people as your servants, people who are a means to your end, people who can help you accomplish what you want to get done and what you want to achieve for your recognition. How often am I worried more about getting the right things done? And I completely miss the relational sin, as Dr. Crabb calls it in his book, the relational sin that I cause when I expect everybody else to participate with me. And I miss the ways that I'm hurting them and offending them and taking advantage of them because I see them as my servants existing to help me get done what I want to do. I'm only focused on what needs to happen for me. Get the actors on the stage. The show must go on. Who cares if not everybody's in their costume or doesn't know their lines yet? But don't make me look bad. Lord, please let me learn how to be in tune to the people around me rather than the work that I hope to get done with them. Forgive me for valuing the performance more than those around me that also love you too and that you love. And let my heart be captivated by you so that its ability to love and care and inspire others is increased. Because of the opportunity for sabbatical, my heart was refreshed. And I realized in a deeper way how Jesus was inviting me to be his friend. I learned to love him in new ways. And now my heart also knows in a much deeper way that he loves me too. But I also know that sabbatical ended about a half a year ago. And it's incredible how quickly life adjusts and tries to steal those moments and those realities that you learn about God and about yourself. I remember one particular day, after having a week or two of reading through the Papa Prayer and thinking about some of these ideas, and as I approached my devotions, as I call it, you know, sometimes they'd be good, sometimes they'd be dry, sometimes they would happen, and some days they wouldn't. And I'd always feel pretty guilty when I didn't take time for God in my day. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. But after having time to sit and reflect and spend more quality time with God, there came a day where Jen and I had some appointment kind of right at the beginning of the day, and there wasn't time to enjoy sabbatical and sit and pay attention to God. And I was like, for a brief second, I felt guilty, like, oh no, I'm not spending time with God. And it was in that moment that God said, hey, Daryl, we've had a week and a half together, and I've been able to talk to your heart and show you a few things. And you know what? Today, the best way that you can love me is to start your day with your wife, with what's on your calendar and what's in front of you, because that's important to me too. And there was no condemnation for not reading my Bible first that day. And that was a beautiful moment where my eyes were open to how God is not interested in keeping score with me, but he's interested in loving me and helping me understand how to better love him and follow him in a daily relational way, letting that obedience be my expression of my love to him. So your invitation awaits. Maybe you don't have a sabbatical coming up. That's okay. Maybe you can take a day a week. Maybe you can take a day a month. Maybe you can take an hour a day and find some uninterrupted place where you can think and reflect on how you've thought God loves you and why God loves you. And you can reflect on what your obedience to him looks like and how you hear his voice, and recognize that we all the time talk about how we should be a servant of God. And that's true. Scripture teaches that in other places. But for today, I want you to lay down this idea that you're a servant. You've got things to do for God, and when you check them off, then God loves you more. And I want you to instead hear God's invitation that, hey, I'd like you to be my friend. Because my friends know what's going on. That's who I talk to about what God wants to happen on this earth. God's kingdom awaits the friends of Jesus who can hear his voice and are able to then partner with God in thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just as it's being done in heaven. So I don't know what part of these comments or the music spoke to your heart today. Maybe you need a new name. Maybe your name is Martha. God can change it to Mary. And then on the days when you forget that you're Mary and you act like Martha, he still loves you and still reminds you that his invitation is to be at his feet. Maybe there was a song that ministered to you, and I just want to invite you that whatever God has been saying to your heart today, listen to it, act on it, receive it, and know that God's love for you is something that he wants you to experience. But in doing that, you'll discover how much your heart loves God as well. Lord, as we come to the conclusion of the service today, I thank you for my students and the ministry that they've been doing this year in this class and through their music. And I pray that what they shared today, what they sang today, what they played today, will continue to be a seed that germinates and brings forth fruit and inspires, drawing this audience closer to you and continuing to light their spirits. In Jesus' name, amen.